Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Drama in Philadelphia. Perloff thinks it's a good thing. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to our great debate on this fine Wednesday in just a moment. But yes, you got the star quarterback, the star wide receiver. They don't have a good relationship. It's personal, according to All-Pro Brandon Graham, who put that out in local radio. And Perloff, you're trying to spin this into a positive for your Birds.
Yes, like a little tension, a little infighting. Keep them on their toes. I don't want any complacency. I mean, to me, this is okay. There's two superpowers, Eagles, or three. They have this crazy good offensive line. They have Saquon Barkley, and they have Jalen Carter just murdering people on defense and a pretty good young secondary. So those are way more important. There was something weird. The Panthers game, they just didn't seem to want to drop back and pass the ball at all. They're trying to – they have this new – it's all over the NFL, by the way. It's not just the Eagles. Like,
the run game is in.
The run game is such a thing, so yeah. Of course receivers are getting upset.
Thank you to Kyle Shanahan for that. This sort of, you know, runs – and I know that Shanahan, you know, Purdy also will throw the ball, but Shanahan's always run first, and I think there's a lot of Shanahan acolytes – who are out there coaching in the NFL. And maybe this is also just a zag to these wide open passing attacks, but you're seeing it with your Eagles. You're seeing it with my Buffalo Bills. Like, trying to get to the run game is the most important part. You even see it with the Detroit Lions, with the two-headed monster of Sonic and Knuckles, or whatever they're calling themselves, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
But it's funny. Joe Brady, though, does not have a Shanahan. I don't think he's a Shanahan guy. And the Eagles, Kellen Moore is a different. Kellen Moore used to be a pass-crazy guy, and now he's going to the run. So it is definitely a thing. That's why I think that's the gist of this. You know, wide receivers. It's just, if you don't get targets, you get mad. They don't care about wins or losses. They're receivers. They're so famous for that. I mean, imagine, I heard someone say this, imagine being the most talented player on the field and you touch the ball four times in a game. And maybe that was said on our show. Yeah, it's just really, really difficult mentally to figure all that out.
Yeah, and you know what I say to that? Well, A.J. Brown still makes $30 million a year. That's what the money's for, to steal from Mad Men. The money is so you understand that sometimes you're not going to get the ball as much. And this is the thing,
though. I don't think competitors think like that. I don't think the money matters in that situation.
But here's the thing. It's what's also good for the team, number one. And number two, I would have thought this was just a football-only thing also, until Brandon Graham came out and said it's personal between the two guys. So I'm not inventing this. People aren't inventing this. This is someone who knows that locker room better than anybody. Brandon Graham has been with the Eagles for 15 years. He's a captain. Now he happens to be hurt, but that doesn't matter. He's rehabbing at the facility. He knows everything that's going on. And I can't imagine someone saying, yeah, I'd rather have the waters be rocky than smooth sailing. You're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but, I mean, they look so good right now, except for last week. But the fact that they beat up the Rams and beat up the Ravens, like, this is not the Eagles team I'm used to. This is an even different team than the Super Bowl team. Super Bowl team was really just really good on offense. This team is very different.
855-212-4227. We get to our college-themed great debate in just a moment. But Phil is our pal in Pennsylvania, who's currently rocking blue hair.
Yep, that's me. Hey, Maggie. Hey, Perloff. How you doing this morning?
Good.
First off, Sirianni, if he does not fix this, he is going to get fired no matter how far the Eagles get. Because last year he didn't fix it. And his, you know, good graces of three straight playoff trips, you know, he spent that last year. If he doesn't fix this and it ends in disaster, he's gone.
What's now, define disaster, like going out in the first round of the playoffs?
First round of the playoffs or even second round of the playoffs. If they make the Super Bowl, might be able to get a little bit of grace, but anything short of a Super Bowl, he's gone. Secondly, this is a situation basically the same thing as last year in Buffalo, where they had to make a choice between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, where I think it was like whoever is the best at their position got to stay. Josh Allen is a much better quarterback than Stephon Diggs was at wide receiver. But for the Eagles, I think it's separate. I think A.J. Brown is a better wide receiver than Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. So at the end of the year, if they don't fix this, I think they'll trade Hurts, keep A.J. Brown, because Hurts is just like mid right now. And half of the NFL is full of running quarterbacks. You can just get another one on a cheap rookie deal. And with this young defense, I think they'd be a lot better without Hurts in the building.
Wow, Phil, you know how rare it is that the quarterback doesn't win that battle?
Just watch it. I mean, seriously, he's gun shy, and that is something you don't want. Yes, he is, you know, not turning the ball over, but you want someone that's actually going to be decisive and confident and going for it, not someone that's going to be... last week, this is my last point, last week he had 4 seconds to pass before he got sacked. He got sacked 4 times. That's the highest of any quarterback in the entire NFL. If Jalen Hurts goes somewhere else without the offensive line, he gets smushed in 2.5 seconds, and he's even worse. Put even a marginally better quarterback in there with that time, and they light him up for, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns per game.
Yo, Phil, I mean, you're coming with the stats. You're bringing the receipts. But the one part you're not bringing is the salary. You know, the Bills did get rid of Stephon Diggs. They took a massive cap hit to do it. They had to retool the whole team. They're paying both guys a lot of money, but they're paying Hurts way more money.
I'm sure they can find a sucker to, offset some of that. Just send him to Jerry's world.
Oh, send him to Dallas. Right. It'd be Dak's backup.
Phil, you're talking about the Panthers. Like, when the Eagles needed to drive, what happened? Like, Hurts started throwing it and just ran right down
the ball.
They did get it, but they shouldn't even have been putting
it. They stormed down the field about 3 seconds. Then they pinned the Panthers at the 1 yard line in the next drive. Like, they just were not trying in this game.
When Hurts happened, it wasn't a perfect game. Yeah. But upcoming, my bold prediction in the Pittsburgh game, it's not going to be Jalen's arm that loses us the game, it's going to be Jake's leg. If he misses, we'll lose the game.
Oh, yeah. The kicker, Jake Elliott's having some major trouble. Hey, Phil, can I ask you a question? Can you send us photos periodically to maggieandperloff@gmail.com so we can see that blue hair kind of in various different stages?
Well, the blue is actually staying well, and the purple is fading a little bit, so it's a little more gray on the purple side.
We'd love some video evidence of this. You can text it to maggieandperloff@gmail.com.
All right, hopefully it goes through.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
That is, by the way, the most Eagles call ever. That might as well be WIP radio. The Eagles are 11-2. Let's cut the quarterback. I mean, the problem is, he brings up a good point. Yeah, definitely A.J. Brown's a better receiver than Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, but you can't get another quarterback. You get a million other receivers, right? This is an opportunity cost. If Jalen Hurts is gone, who's the quarterback? Kenny Pickett?
Let's get to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, we do this every Wednesday at this time. The Maggie and Perloff Great Debate. We loosely base this on the news. So what is happening on Saturday night?
Heisman.
The Heisman. Yay! Travis Hunter, major favorite, Ashton Gentry. It's going to be a fun night in New York, even if we feel like we already know the outcome, but that's generally the case. Anyway, we got thinking about the Heisman. And we got thinking about snubs. And our great debate today is, what is the greatest and biggest Heisman Trophy snub of all time? Perloff also has a thought on this year's Heisman class that we'll share with you in just a little bit. Not a fan, put it mildly. But let's get to it. Who was the biggest Heisman snub of all time? Mr. Perloff, the floor is yours.
Who's the best college football player anyone in this room has ever seen? There's only one appropriate answer. Vince Young, right? Texas. We all saw the game. Actually, Manny, you might not.
Manny definitely didn't.
Did Vince Young win the Heisman Trophy? No, he did not. He lost it to Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was great. Listen, I'm a super fan, and he was amazing at USC, but a little bit of a system thing going on there. Vince Young is above any system. He should have won the Heisman. Apparently, he was not happy when he came in second. By far, to me, of anybody you guys are going to name, Vince Young is a better player, and therefore, he's my biggest Heisman snub.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Which game was that?
That's the national championship game.
That's national championship. Yeah, I know. The problem is the voting came before that. So the voting that year was USC's Reggie Bush was one, Vince Young was two, and Matt Leiner was three. Our guy Brady Quinn, four, by the way. But obviously, like, the USC guys to me should have canceled out because Vince Young was a one-man show for that Texas team, and that he was incredible. Not a great NFL player, but probably the best college player I've ever seen. So therefore, he's my biggest Heisman snub.
It's a great one. Vince Young is the greatest Heisman Trophy snub. All right, my nominee for this was snubbed so much that they didn't even come in second or third or even fourth. This person came in fifth place. And just because it happened in 1956 doesn't mean that it isn't relevant. Jim Brown is the biggest Heisman Trophy snub.
Only touchdown slow motion camera can slow the great Jim Brown. Behind a wall of fast-breaking blocks, Brown swings around in and knocks everyone out of his way. At the 30, he's almost clear, but cadet Bob Kiyaski close in on him. Brown tries to cut between them, but Rose fills him with a necktie tackle.
Send a salami to your boy of the Army. It sounds so old, but it was. I mean, 1956, Jim Brown, who finished again in fifth place, despite being third in the nation in rushing yards at 986 yards, he scored 14 touchdowns. He played one fewer game than the other guys on this list, and he led Syracuse University to the Cotton Bowl. They had never been ranked as high as eighth, and he was the reason. And what's even more egregious about Jim Brown not winning the Heisman in 1956 is not because he came in fifth, again, which is silly. The guy who won it is another very famous player named Paul Hornung, who won the Heisman Trophy because he was the quarterback of Notre Dame. And it was a played a lot of positions, but was the quarterback of Notre Dame. Notre Dame was 2-8 that year. Paul Hornung threw three touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Not only that, the Fighting Irish were blown out in so many games that season. They dropped 4 of 8 contests by 25 points or more. And he won the Heisman over Jim Brown, who led Syracuse to unprecedented heights and was clearly the best player in college football at the time. That's your biggest Heisman Trophy
stuff. How is Jim Brown third in rushing that year?
Because he played fewer games.
Jeez.
Johnny Majors was second, if you were wondering. Yeah, very famous.
Who's he at?
Yeah, and Oklahoma had the next two
finishers. Tommy McDonald, Hall of Famer, too.
Tommy McDonald's in the Hall of Fame, and their offensive lineman, Jerry Tubbs, was fourth in the Heisman, and then Jim Brown. All right, EJ, go ahead. We're doing biggest Heisman Trophy snubs this morning.
So it's rare that we do a great debate within a sports season like the football season, and I actually used the same answer from a different debate. So we asked a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, who was the greatest freshman of all time? And I said the great Adrian Peterson. And then Perloff asking who's the greatest college football player I've ever seen. It's not Vince Young. It's Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson's freshman year, he lost on a technicality. Like, Vince Young lost fair and square. Jim Brown may have lost racism, but we'll leave that alone.
Definitely racism.
Adrian Peterson lost purely because he was a freshman and he didn't play enough college football for him to get the award. But Adrian Peterson wowed fans with plays like this.
Gets it. Running to the left side, spinning away, and he is gone. 8 consecutive games he's run for 100 yards or more, and he just streaked for that one. He has tied Poe James' record.
You just heard that 8 consecutive games running for 100 yards. Again, some of these numbers, 225 against Texas, 249 against Oklahoma State, 240 against Baylor, 172 against Colorado in the Big 12 championship game. Adrian Peterson doing this as a freshman was phenomenal. I think the fact that he didn't win was a complete joke. This is prior to the whole we just give the quarterback the award every year.
Yeah.
They still gave this one to Matt Leiner. Matt Leiner was great, but Adrian Peterson was by far the best player in college football that year. Peterson is the greatest snub in the history of the Heisman voting.
Wait, did you say he's the best college player you've ever seen?
Or? Yes, better than Vince Young.
Do you think he's the best? Is he better than Barry Sanders was in college?
Like, I didn't watch Barry Sanders. He said I watched.
Got it.
Let's not get off track. Today's great debate is not greatest college football player. It's greatest Heisman snub, the biggest snub for the Heisman.
Adrian Peterson is my Bruce Bochy. Just picking for everything.
That's a throwback to our pal Pete Pilotti. Okay, Manny, who do you got?
I am going back to a time that I can't even fathom. I'm going so far back. The year is 1997.
Wow, how much did milk cost back then?
Who knows? Did they have milk? Who knows what was even going on in 97? I don't, because that was the year I was born. I didn't contribute anything to society. But you know who did contribute to society? Some guy at Tennessee who threw for 3,800 yards, over 3,800 yards, 36 touchdowns passing, 3 rushing, an 11-1 record. National runner-up.
Yeah.
But a loss to Florida in September is what...
It's clear you weren't there.
A loss to Florida in September is...
Are you reading this out of a history book?
Is your grandfather whispering in your ear?
I just did one from 1956, and I feel like I was more convincing than you're being about 1997, Manny.
Well, but tell that doesn't make sense to me. How can a game in September end up costing Peyton Manning the Heisman Trophy?
That's weird.
97 makes no sense. Peyton Manning, that season, you take a look at the stats, Peyton Manning over Charles Woodson? Come on, man.
Peyton Manning is having a wonderful day, but I think it's a little bit more Jamal Lewis time. Control the line of scrimmage. And all of a sudden, you see Kentucky start to bring a lot of people up. Play fake. They bite. Close pattern. Touchdown. Marcus Nash's third of the day.
Peyton Manning was good that year. And the fact that they gave it to the guy who had just 7 interceptions, whatever, bro. That doesn't make sense to me.
Only 7?
Only 7.
They played like 11 games that year.
Bogish, last one. You get the final word here. The biggest Heisman Trophy snub is who?
I'm going to blow Manny's mind even farther. There was a year called 1995.
Good God.
And Nebraska was the best team in the country.
The Cornhuskers?
They scored 53 points a game, including 62 on Florida in the Fiesta Bowl to clinch the national title with this man playing quarterback.
Frazier heading more numbers, more yards to those. They don't have him yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
As EJ said, there was a time where they didn't just give it to the best quarterback on the best team. Tommy Frazier was the best quarterback on the best team that year, but he lost the Heisman. 2,000 scrimmage yards, 31 total TDs, but he loses to Ohio State running back Eddie George.
Oof.
Right.
Eddie George is pretty good, though.
He was, and had the better pro career, obviously, but Tommy Frazier was the face, he was the face of the best team in college football and didn't win the Heisman.
All right, there you have it. Today's great debate, the biggest Heisman Trophy snubs of all time. I'm glad that Manny could leaf through the history books to find Peyton Manning. Manny, you're the best. I love the fact that 1997 is ancient history. It's so awesome.
It's a great visual. Him sitting like in a library, opening up a huge book. And it's like dust flies out. He's like, 1997? Like,
blows the dust off the book.
Losses to Florida still matter?
Florida.
I haven't read a textbook since 08.
So there you go. Who do you have? The greatest Heisman Trophy snub of all time. I mentioned Perloff not very big on this Heisman class. We'll get to that in just a moment and lots more for you. It's M&P.
Maggie, it is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's a great night for Prize Picks. There's so many sports going on. If you don't know Prize Picks, it's the best. You can make your holidays and the whole December bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Over 10 million members and billions of dollars in award winnings. It's made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection. You can win up to 200 times your money. And I am all over the NBA tonight. I think I'm going to pick Mikal Bridges just because DJ won't shut up about him. It's the best.
Well, if I didn't say Merry Picksmas to all and to all a good night, it is Picksmas season with Prize Picks in December. Prize Picks is giving away two free picks this month. They're giving away $30+ million in rewards, all happening right now. So download the Prize Picks app. It's available to play in more than 40 states, including California and Texas. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MMP on Prize Picks. Get it to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
All right, welcome back, Meg. Back on Maggie Broth Show. So we're doing Great Debate Wednesday. Greatest Heisman snub, or biggest Heisman snub of all time. I went with Vince Young, Texas lost to Reggie Bush.
I went with Jim Brown, who not just lost, he came in fifth place and lost it to Paul Hornig, who quarterbacked a 2-8 Notre Dame team. Do we think something was amiss back in 1956? I believe so. EJ decided to go with Adrian Peterson, who he believes is one of the greatest college football players ever, period. Didn't get the Heisman as a freshman. Manny is going with a guy he was unfamiliar with his college work until recently, and that is Peyton Manning. From all the way back in 1997.
Manning also played for the Colts, by the way, Manning, before the Broncos, just in case.
Before he did the Manning cast, he was a quarterback. And Bogish went with Tommy Frazier. We're asking you, who is the greatest Heisman snub of all time? Derek is in San Diego. Derek, who do you have?
Hey, in 1992, this Pro Football Hall of Famer and San Diego State Aztec rushed for 1,600 yards, averaged almost 150 yards per game with 15 touchdowns, and lost the Heisman Trophy to Gino Toretta.
Oof.
And that is Marshall Faulk. Absolutely brutal.
Well, and the mystique of Miami was obviously much. Well, listen, Cam Ward comes full circle because Cam Ward is a finalist in New York this weekend. But yeah, Derek, I mean, Marshall Faulk was unreal. Do you think that San Diego State was the reason why he didn't win?
100%. It was. And San Diego State was fun back in those days. They would have, you know, your 51-50 losses to BYU and Dan McGuire's throwing the football all over the yard and
Derek,
Marshall Faulk running wild, but the bottom line is San Diego State was in the WAC or Mountain West or whatever they call it. So 100%.
Derek, let me tell you why. Because I was on the East Coast and a big Marshall Faulk fan, and the games are on at 10 o'clock at night here. So that screwed him. I'm sorry, and it's not his fault at all. But nobody, half the voters are on the East Coast. They didn't stay up for Marshall Faulk back then.
Yeah, true story. That's the whole thing with the, and I mean, even most recently, the Pac-12. I mean, no one on the East Coast watched the Pac-12. And that's why I love that my Ducks are sitting at number one, baby.
There you go. Well,
go Ducks.
Good luck to your Ducks. I wish they had gotten a little bit more of a reward for being the number one overall seed, but we covered that a lot on Monday. We'll see how they do. They get a bye. They await the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. We're asking for the biggest Heisman snubs of all time. John is in Ohio with a recent one. Hey, John.
There is only one person. I mean, the way you have to ask this question. Christian McCaffrey. He did everything. Catching passes, running, return punts, kicks. The only reason he lost that, eight of the games that year were played after 10:30, and all those fat, no-good sports writers had their asses in bed.
Wait a minute, though,
don't
John.
I'm still fired up about because it's been 8 years and he got screwed.
2015 was the year I actually interviewed McCaffrey they do a media availability before the ceremony. He lost to Derrick Henry, though, John. It's not that Derrick Henry wasn't.
Henry, I thought it was Lamar Jackson.
No, he lost to Derrick Henry, I believe. 2015, right?
We'll double check that. But John, here's the thing about it: every Stanford running back ran for 2,000 yards. Like that was a thing back then, right?
Toby Gerhart ran for 2,000.
Toby Gerhart and the other guy too, set all kinds of records. So I think everyone thought that was the system until Christian McCaffrey killed it in the NFL. Like, oh, it's maybe more than the system. Gerhart, I think, didn't he challenge the all time single season record, the Ron Dane? So anyway, yeah, I think that was the rub. Are we doing like sort of Monday morning quarterback because McCaffrey is the best NFL player out of that? I think you're in danger of doing that when you think of Heisman subs. I think that's what Manning did with Peyton Manning. I don't think Peyton Manning was the best football player, he would have chosen him. I'm just kidding. May have no idea what he was doing.
You know, listen, I was covering that Heisman for Sports Illustrated. McCaffrey had a lot of heat around him. Like, he was a huge deal. It was a huge deal, and but the invite was also, not that it was a surprise, but that was a huge deal also. But Derrick Henry, yeah, Lamar Jackson won in 2016. McCaffrey was a runner-up in 2015. Derrick Henry won that year.
Didn't, and I'll have to check, wasn't Toby Gerhardt one of the, wasn't he in second place too?
Was he a runner-up? I don't know. I don't remember that.
By the way, McCaffrey did lose out to Henry. It was a pretty close vote. Henry had 378 votes. McCaffrey had 290. They both ran for over 2,000 yards.
And that was what year? Sorry.
2015. Sorry, that was 2015.
Yep. No, we had the right year.
Henry had 28 touchdowns. Right.
Gerhardt lost to Mark Ingram in 2009. And I think it was one of the, I'll have to double check, it's one of the closest votes of all time. A bit of a system guy. Christian McCaffrey. Now he's with Shanahan. He looks good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Phillip, you're not too impressed with this class.
It's not that I'm not necessarily impressed. It's just like, where are like the big-time star quarterbacks? Like, what is happening to the, who are they? Like, if I told you in the beginning of the year we're going to get a Colorado, Boise State, I guess Miami and Oregon, it's just a funny field. It's just a bizarre field. Like, we were talking about, you used to have Matt Leinart, Vince Young, Reggie Bush, and some other like big star quarterback. I feel like the fact that we're having a two-way player, a Boise State running back, and two kind of like journeyman transfer portal quarterbacks is interesting to me. I just feel like this is not like the big star class that I'm used to.
Well, I mean, I'm going to disagree. Travis Hunter has incredible star power. So the final four are Travis Hunter, who is the runaway favorite, Ashton Jeanty, of course, the running back from Boise, Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, and Cam Ward from Miami. I love this class because Hunter is such an anomaly. You know, you don't get this kind of guy who's playing this amount of snaps on both offense and defense and is probably going to be a top five pick and all these things, you know, playing for Deion Sanders, the Colorado resurrection. I think this is so huge and massive that he's took this different sort of route, you know, didn't
like
go to
Charles
Alabama.
Woodson,
yeah, but it's been a long time since Charles Woodson. And Dylan Gabriel is the quarterback on the number one team in the country.
Yeah, no, he definitely deserves this for sure. But
and Cam Ward is so fun to watch.
Travis Hunter is a little bit confusing. He's probably the second biggest star on his own team, though. Well, I mean, Shador is a really big household name, too.
I think there's a lot of people who believe Shador should be in New York as well, not just his dad.
I think he should have gotten an invite, too. I think there's no reason you can't have two guys on one team. I kind of thought the same thing. But it just feels like, to me, just a bizarre field. And I don't know. Like, look at last year, I don't have it on top of my head. It was Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Penix. Like, I'm sorry, like, that is like, whoa, you have like four NFL quarterbacks at that. That's going to look good down the road.
Yeah, but you know what? This quarterback class might end up becoming one of the, I don't say best, can't say that right now, but this class from last year with Caleb, Bo Nix, and Penix, and we'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy. This might go down as one of the great quarterback classes of all time. So, of course, the Heisman would match that.
Totally. It's just it's going to be an unusual thing. And I'm not sure the casual fan is so into this field yet. I don't think I think they're still getting familiar with them. I don't think the casual, like, I'm not sure Travis Hunter's crossover as much as you think he has.
Well, it's also just, there's not a lot of drama here. If you, I don't know what the odds are right now, but is it minus 1,000. He's the runaway favorite. Let's get to Bogus, who has headlines, but keep them coming, guys. The biggest Heisman Trophy snubs of all time.
These headlines, guys, are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. The spin doctor might now be Doc Dreamy. Like that episode from season 34 of Grey's Anatomy. Doc Rivers has nursed his Bucks back to health, so much so they're now in the NBA Cup semifinals.
At halftime, we were shooting 58%, and they were shooting 57%. So I don't think either coach was very happy defensively. And I told our guys, I said, the first team that plays defense goes to Vegas. Bottom line.
I'm not sure there was much defense after halftime either, Doc, with the Bucks and Magic combining for 104 points, but Damian Lillard did score 9 in the final minute. Milwaukee won 114-109. They'll be the only repeat team in the Final Four in Vegas. The Thunder claim their spot with a 118-104 home win over the Mavs. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scored 39, while the OKCD held Luka Doncic to just 16 on 5 of 15 shooting. We knew Cowboys linebacker DeMarvian Overshown was hurt during yesterday's show. Now we know how badly. Torn ACL, MCL, and PCL. Obviously, he won't play again this season, but could he miss all of 2025 as well, Mike McCarthy?
I think that's fair. I mean, because, you know, time of year, obviously we're in December. So, yes, I mean, you know, I just think like anything, you have the surgery and then the rehab is a long process. But, you know, I think that's very realistic.
So he misses his rookie season with a left knee injury, is a stud for 13 games this year, and now might not play again until 2026.
Oof. That is awful. You feel for the guy because he is so fun to watch, but there's a little with McCarthy, which is like, not my bro. Not that he doesn't feel bad for the guy, but I don't know if McCarthy, if this is going to be an issue for him if he doesn't keep his job. Him having to game plan around the absence of Arya Overshawn is not going to be his it's not going to be his jurisdiction.
I don't know that it's done. I'm putting the odds at 50-50.
Then McCarthy returns.
Yes.
North Carolina offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey reportedly taking that same job at Michigan. He ran a top 10 unit just two seasons ago when Drake May was the Tar Heels QB. Men's college hoops last night, number one Tennessee handled Miami 75-62 in the Jimmy V Classic at the Garden. Those Hurricanes have now dropped seven straight since a 3-0 start. Number 20 Wisconsin began 8-0, but now on a three-game skid courtesy of last night's 86-80 loss at Illinois. The Yankees began wiping away the Juan Soto shame by signing Braves lefty Max Fried yesterday. 8 years, $218 million. That's the richest deal ever for a lefty starter. The Texas Rangers reportedly re-signing veteran righty Nathan Eovaldi and trading for Marlins infielder Jake Berger yesterday. Eovaldi gets $75 million over three seasons. Berger went deep 29 times for Miami last season. On ice, the Bruins' four-game win streak ending with an 8-1 drubbing in Winnipeg. Calgary snapped its eight-game road drought 4-3 in Nashville, and the Avalanche overwhelmed the Penguins in Pittsburgh 6-2. 5-point nights for Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon. And UC Davis is joining the Mountain West as a non-football member. That gives the league 10 total schools, 8 of which do play football.
Guys, UC Davis? Don't they have a football team? Did Ken O'Brien go there?
I don't think they play FBS football.
Ah.
Yes.
Check that. Ken O'Brien. Remember Manny, him back when he was Jets quarterback in the 80s?
I don't.
Oh, 0% Manny. Chance.
That's basically would have to be like a cave painting to Manny. This is he has no clue about things that happened before the year 2000.
Hieroglyphics.
Does he know? And you're right, by the way. He did go to UC Davis.
Huh?
Yeah.
Perloff just wanted credit for the poll.
What stadium does UC Davis football play in, Manny?
You're gonna make Manny walk over the microphone because now Ray's sitting in the stadium.
The UC Davis Aggies. Come on.
Yeah, that's not the couch.
I dated a girl who lived in Davis, California once. I'm pretty pretty much an expert.
Was she brining your phone?
Anything else you want to share?
Well, they have a famous place called, they have a famous hot dog restaurant called The Hot Dogger there.
Okay.
And it's a pretty big college.
So you dated a girl from Davis, California, yeah, and then a girl from Idaho as well? Why could you not stay in the Eastern Time Zone?
My ex-girlfriend's parents lived in Elk City, Idaho.
But this is a separate girl?
Totally different girl. Yeah, I've had more than one girlfriend.
At least three.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Four, I think. Yeah.
But they're spread out. Mine like a four-block radius in Queens.
Bogus, you looked at me like, wait, you had more than one girlfriend?
Bogus was like, wait a minute. Back up the truck for a second. You're telling me?
This is just a lot of geography. Now we're throwing Davis, California on top of a fancy Idaho town. That's all.
So,
I'm a tiny boy from Delco. You're impressive.
Yeah, I mean,
dropping that you went to Kobe Bryant's high school really opens doors.
Listen,
looking like Seth from the OC.
If you think I was from Delco, you got another thing coming. I look down on Delco. I'm from Montgomery
County. I'm sure they'd
County.
Love to hear that.
I'm from Montgomery County. Delco is where every NBA official is from. Literally every single one are from Delco.
Even Donaghy, right?
Yes. Definitely not. All
even the most
every
disgraced
single
one of all time.
Where do you think that gambling ring came from? It was from Delaware County, Pennsylvania. It's one of our points of pride.
Only the best and brightest.
Soft pretzels, cheesesteaks,
and fixed NBA games.
And refs who fix NBA games.
Yeah. Who have really tried to cover their tracks by calling on a cell phone and being like, Johnny's home tonight. Johnny's away tonight. It's a real sophisticated scheme. I'm shocked that they weren't shocked that Tim Donaghy got caught. Really surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than hitting a garbage can three rows back at the Astros Stadium for all the... I mean, there are no genius cheaters out there.
The ones that have gotten caught.
The ones that we don't know about.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking about this, guys. With Belichick kind of circling in, it looks like on this North Carolina job to take the Tar Heels job. I was like, all right, who's going to be Belichick's first hire?
I know where you're going.
Josh McDaniels. Not Romeo Crennel. It's going to be Connor Stallions. You're telling me that Belichick wouldn't have seen that documentary on Stallions and been like, get me this guy.
No, he might. What was the guy, the Ohio State Ninja guy? The
message board dude that ratted him out?
Yeah, who did the same thing that he does. It was
hire
watch,
both.
Watch film. But the thing is, Connor Stallions was a rabid, grew up a Michigan fan. Nobody grew up a rabid North Carolina football fan. He might have to steal a basketball fan and be like, I know you love Tar Heel basketball. Can you come? Has you ever met, wow, I'm a huge North Carolina football fan. Remember that?
I mean, not off the tip of the head. But to be honest, like Stallions is going to get hired. He was thorough. I feel like Belichick would appreciate that kind of
The manifesto kind of thing. Yeah.
Isn't he coaching the kid that Dave Portnoy just got to go to Michigan? Connor Stallions? Isn't he Bryce?
From high school.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Hmm.
But yes, Belichick in North Carolina, the secret weapon is not going to be Belichick's six rings or whatever. It's going to be getting Connor Stallions to come and videotape. Just bringing Spygate to the college level.
That's what North Carolina needs, more cheating scandals. Exactly what North Carolina, Chapel Hill needs.
I mean, to be honest, the last one was a little run-of-the-mill. I mean, you got people taking tests for you. Yawn.
You want sophisticated level of cheating at
this
point.
We need someone with a Central Michigan sweatshirt on and a pair of Meta glasses.
Kind of like when you get hacked and like a company hires like, you know, a Swedish hacker to be like, you need to redirect how this happened. Figure out how we can get around this in the future. You hire Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
He's the Swedish hacker in this scenario.
Sure.
Nobody saw the Ashley Madison.
For the girl with the dragon tattoo?
Saw the Ashley Madison documentary? Or just know anything about hacking?
Actually, I decided not to click on that. That is not my wife. I've been watching the Ashley Madison doc on Netflix. Then anyway, Bogus, I know you had the same thought.
Same decision.
Yeah. I know it got
You're
a
like,
big
wait a minute,
numbers.
It was Doug.
Yeah.
You Carlos can't change titles on Netflix.
No, you can put it under your kids' profile. You
oh,
guys
that's
have
a better idea, Maggie.
There
no,
you
this
go.
Is what you do. You get hackers to figure out how you got hacked. This is a thing.
And they come from Sweden?
Yes. Seriously. Like it's like usually one of these random Scandinavian countries.
Wait, just one last thing on the Ashley Madison doc. People know Ashley Madison was famously, I don't think it still exists, does it?
It does.
Oh, it does? And it will help married men cheat on their wives. But if it's this hot, if a lot of people watched it, clearly not a lot of people were thinking what you and Bogish were thinking. Like, oh, I don't want my wife to see this in the queue.
Oh, we definitely overthought this. Our wives couldn't have cared less about us watching that on Netflix.
No.
Although, I gotta be honest, if I turn on Netflix and it's like, would you like to resume Ashley Madison, Doc? I'd be like, honey?
Better find a Swedish hacker
would be
to explain
upset.
Why you got
you
this thing on your
if he was watching.
I wouldn't be upset. I would just endlessly give him crap for this.
The one thing
I'd start signing birthday cards, Ashley Madison. Like, I would just never let it go.
It is a scary reminder that your data is so not safe.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I watched, like, how that...
Down.
I actually know
get
what happened there.
Your ID's
like,
going to get stolen.
They say, don't worry, this is confidential. It ain't confidential.
Well, I just hate that everyone is asking you for something yesterday. Like, yesterday I was at Kohl's, right? And they're like, all right, can we get your email, your address, your phone number, your date of birth? I'm like, I'm here trying to buy a freaking sweater. Like, why do you need all this information?
And it's like a deterrent. I ended up like not doing it. Whenever I face too many like things to get to whatever,
I say,
all right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I don't even want it. 855-212-4227. All right, that a little tangent there. Coming up, we have a surprise headline, but to be honest, not that shocking when you really think about it. We'll dive into the why of it all next. M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Any matcha experts out there?
See, I was just lamenting to the guys in the break. I said I'm late to a couple things, and I realize I'm late to them. You know, sometimes you miss stuff, and you got to catch up. And I mentioned last segment, I was at Kohl's. I was just a little late to the party on Kohl's. I'm not even shilling for them. This is free. It's great. I got so much done there yesterday. And then the other was matcha, which is like this Argentinian drink. It's a tea. Has caffeine in it, and Perloff is telling me that it's pretty bad for you.
No, it's fine, but it's you probably get like a, you know, a matcha drink at a store or something. Like
it's like with almond milk.
Yeah, no, that you like it because people will add sugar. It's just a tea. It's a green tea.
Oh, okay. I'm late to this. I didn't.
Do you think there was like natural flavor? Because you love sugar.
I do love sugar, but I'm also trying to cut sugar out of my diet.
Well, you're basically drinking like a chai latte, which is.
I know. These like Starbucks things that have like 58 grams of sugar
in it. Did you think
that's fine?
And maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe the tea is actually sweet on its own.
I just bought the powder. Yeah. All I did was buy the powder and that was it. And it tastes sweet.
Yeah. Because I know this because my daughter, who's 14, that's all she drinks is these matcha drinks.
Right. Because she has your credit card linked to her account.
Yes.
So you only find out what she purchases after the fact.
Right. And I know her taste. And she likes gigantic sugary drinks from Starbucks.
Well, is 14.
Yes, and you are too, because apparently you were drinking this matcha. I'm like, wow, this is good. You know, it's green. Green is healthy.
They make a little leaf design on it at the place next door.
You gotta get the matcha mochi ice cream.
Oh, yes.
Well, that obviously is sweet.
I love matcha, too.
But that's the jam.
I didn't realize how much caffeine was in it until I was literally sprinting down the block. Like, I feel great.
Yeah, no, whenever I was like, if I don't want coffee, like, that's usually the route if I go to Starbucks. Yeah.
Still tons of caffeine. All right, let's do a little old-fashioned contender pretender NFL style. EJ's going to throw us out a team. Perloff and I will tell you if they're Super Bowl contenders.
Okay, so let's begin with how about the Green Bay Packers? Contender pretender.
They're my Super Bowl pick.
Me too.
Really hitting me where it hurts right now with this one. I think they're pretenders. I got to switch it up. I think the Detroit Lions, by virtue of sweeping them, and I know the games were close, the Lions just seem so much more the class of the NFC right now than the Packers. And again, this pains me. I picked them. I wish their offense was a little bit better, a little bit more consistent. And I do not think ultimately they will be in the Super Bowl, Perloff.
God, I'm 100% contender. I think right there with the Lions. If they see the Lions for a third time, that game is going to be so close. They have Jordan Love is great. And we know that Josh Jacobs is great. Why do you think the Lions were so scared to give the ball back to them at the end of the game? Because Love caught fire. Remember last year they stunk the first half of the season and then they got good in the second half of the season? Then they really outplayed the Niners. Like I think they're a little bit better than last year. And last year they were knocking at the door. I say total contender.
Let's stay in the NFC North. How about the Minnesota Vikings?
Man, I'm not doing it. I'm not taking the cheese here with the Vikings looking so good against the Falcons and thinking that that is a reason why they're contenders. I still think that the Vikings are a great story. Sam Darnold, a good story. We obviously love the two wide receivers, and we love the defense. But, and I just said all the great things about their team. I don't think they're actual Super Bowl contenders. I think they're way more legit than 2 years ago with Kirk Cousins, but I can't put them in the Super Bowl.
Take the cheese. Nobody thinks the Vikings are contenders. Because they beat a bad Atlanta team. They really have a lot to prove against good teams. I don't think they're in the mix.
How about the AFC North? What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I've already said this, yes. I called this weeks ago. I thought the Steelers were legit Super Bowl contenders. I think things are breaking right for them in the fact that Russ is playing well. They're even winning without George Pickens, who's obviously like their number one weapon going away. The one concern I have for the Steelers is their crazy schedule at the end of the season, but they've stacked so many wins. They're clearly in the postseason. I think they're dangerous in the postseason. This is going to be a different year for the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see them going to Kansas City and winning in the playoffs. Just because they do one thing great. They're amazing at containing running quarterbacks, which is, so you'll see Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and fourth quarter Mahomes. That is really big. But generally, though, I can't see this team being good enough to win on the road in the playoffs. I mean, unless they get the number one and bring Kansas City to Pittsburgh, it ain't happening.
A lot of people think this team is elite, but their record isn't elite. What about the Baltimore Ravens at 8-5? Are they contender or pretender?
Man, I can't get on board right now with the Ravens. I really can't. And I think it's because the defense is just not what we're used to with a Ravens defense. And I think they've been a little inconsistent lately. And look at the good teams that they've played. Listen, they destroyed my Bills 35-10. So I totally understand that. But, you know, losing to Pittsburgh, losing to Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles, and you said it earlier, you guys kind of out-physicaled the Ravens, and we're not used to that. I say no.
I say 100% yes. You're going to, you know, Lamar Jackson is not, he's trying to prove he's a pocket quarterback or something. He's going to run 15 times. No repeat of last year's AFC title game where Lamar didn't run. I think they're going to hit you with Henry, hit you with Lamar Jackson, keep that defense off the field. I'm very, very interested in them in the playoffs.
This is another team that does that 3 games in 10 days thing with the Wednesday game because they're playing on Christmas at Houston.
But we know they're going to be a wild card probably, and they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs anyway, which is okay because they were favorite last year and didn't do anything for them.
Coming up, lots more for you from the NFL and college. And not only that, we have a person winning Time Athlete of the Year. What does it mean? Why does it matter? We'll tell you next.